as the chairman, hold up here. The first things first, I want all the members of the committee on the Historical Preservation Committee to introduce themselves. I can't see anybody on the screen, so I don't know. Am I doing it right or what?
Hi, Bill. This is Bill Chapman.
Hi, Bill. I'm an
architectural historian on the commission.
This is Alton Okinaka. I'm the sociologist on the board.
Thank you, Alton.
Pat Griffin, historian.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Paul Morgan, architect. Architecture.
Thank you, Paul.
Matt McDermott, archaeology.
Hey, Pat. Thank you, buddy.
Katie Stevens, architect.
Thank you. Thank you. I guess I better introduce myself, Bill Souza. I don't know if you can see me.
Yes, we can.
We see you.
Thank you very much. Okay, I guess we've called everybody who's present. Okay. Sandra, do you to add before we continue with the nominations?
Wait, what was that? You were kind of breaking up there.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to ask you, before we start to the nomination, do you have anything you wanted to say?
This is just a site visit. This is our virtual site visit. I just wanted to say for the Clark residents, I put it on twice there, so that's just a mistake on my part. But other than that, we're ready to go.
Okay. First up, I see we have 9:15 at 9:15, the Henry Kaiser Estate. Is he here for that? Yeah. Not yet.
What?
9:15 Henry J. Kaiser Estate. That's the first one. Not mine.
Can't hear you, Lorraine.
Bye. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Are we? Did you want me to start now, Bill?
Well, at 9:15 it says. What time is it now? I don't have my watch.
It's 9:08.
Well, times are subject to change, so we can start earlier if you'd like.
And then, fine. Very much. Go ahead, ma'am.
All right. Thank you very much. I will share my screen with you now.
Man.
That's okay. Just say okay. The host has disabled attendee screen sharing, it says.
Right.
Chandra, can I?
Okay, try again.
Okay. Oh, great. That's the one. Okay. Hello. Good morning. I'm Lorraine Minato-Ishii, and I will be presenting the nomination for 535 Portlock Road, which is a boundary expansion of the previous listed 525 Portlock Road, the Henry J. and Alice Kaiser Estate. The main parcel has been listed on the Hawaii Historic Register in 2016, and on the National Register in 2019. This address is 525 Portlock Road. The boundary expansion, so this is the original, and this is the boundary expansion, will encompass the adjoining parcel. The address is 535 Portlock Road. The historic overview of the site is shown here. This photo was taken in 1968. George Wright and Edwin Bauer designed the entire estate as a whole. All of the structures were built within months, one at a time, consistent with Kaiser's development reputation. The boundary expansion is 70,000 square feet and holds three contributing resources. The pavilion, which was originally called the trophy house, the large water feature, and the dog run walls. This parcel is being nominated under Criterion B for its association with Henry Kaiser, the industrialist and development mogul who helped shape our country's infrastructure and shipbuilding. He also developed much of Waikiki with its Hilton Hawaiian Village and Hawaii Kai as we know it today. The integrity of the parcel as a whole is strong. The dog kennels are no longer extant, but the boundaries of the kennel area, signified by the dog run walls, are a clearly defined oval shape as it was in 1959. The pavilion's foundation and building structural elements are intact, as are the water features. I will be showing a few aerial videos of the site because of its large size. This one to the left of the screen is the Kaiser main house already listed on the register. The center portion of the screen shows the landscaped area with the water feature and the pavilion at the top of the screen. Oh, sorry. Okay. This is the next video. Here's the center portion of the estate, which includes the trophy house, the water feature, which we now refer to as the pavilion, the water feature within the large landscaped area at the oceanfront, and the dog perimeter walls rear of the pavilion at the middle left of the screen. This is the dog perimeter walls are in view here. You'll notice the large open space in the center. I hope it's going, yeah. The Kaiser house to the right, the pavilion at the top of the screen. The size of the dog run area outside to outside has a length of 190 feet long and a width of 120 feet. The perimeter walls on the Mauka side of the property are partially retaining as it is a sloping site to the ocean. The elevation of the oval is 32.75 feet. The run itself slopes slightly downward towards the ocean side of the track. And for context, the elevation of the floor, the pavilion, is 29 feet high off of floor ocean elevation. Okay. I wanted to show you the driveway and distance from the driveway to the pavilion. You can see the dog run walls. So this is the pavilion. You'll see this is the driveway here we're looking at, and we're panning over right now, looking at the dog run walls that are retaining actually Portlock Road above. And here we are looking towards, I wanted to show you the pavilion first floor. The pavilion is made of concrete. We are heading down to the first level, which holds the transformer vault. The elevation at this level is 23.33 feet high. The foundation and building structural elements are intact. It is the center core of the estate and gives the estate its resort feel. The landscaped area on both sides of the water feature is still open and provides a high level of integrity and feeling. and we're going to enter into the transformer vault. Here, there's the pavilion. We'll see, this is a big culvert here for the water to drain from Portlock Road. We're going to enter the vault area right now. This was the original part of the site that kind of powered the entire area. And this is, of course, all original. No longer in use. And the water feature in view here, the pool is empty right now. And the ocean beyond. Oh, shoot, sorry. My screen. Sorry about that. I don't know what I
did.
I think there's a couple more slides.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Sorry, we're trying to get back to the PowerPoint. Okay, great. And here I wanted to show you that the pavilion is actually made of concrete. In the historic photos, it looks like it would be a wood structure, but you can see the column here and the beam are both made of concrete. The entire roof and the walls are also, and the floor is also concrete. And finally, this is gonna be the last clip. This is show you the ocean water pool and rock culvert. Notice the beautiful detailing of the rock walls and the paving and stairs. Also, it's interesting that this is a ocean water pool and the pool depth changes, of course, depending on the tide level. The culvert is a large drainage, connects to a large drainage pipe that drains water from Portlock Road. But beautiful detailing of the rock work here. Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, I think there were- were some questions that were addressed to you. Bill, I saw your note there. Bill Chapman?
Oh, he's left the office.
Oh, okay. Katie, do you have a question for your sister here?
Actually, I was trying to answer Bill Chapman's question. He had asked about the function of the basement area of the pavilion, and I looked in the nomination form. It said there that it housed the pump equipment for the water feature, but it also has some electrical equipment, a transformer.
Right, right, exactly.
I had a couple other questions. Did the dog runs used to have fencing and a roof over it? I mean, I know they were affiliated with the structure that was indoors, but I just wondered if the actual dog run part had any kind of a fence or a roof over it.
It actually, on top of the exterior perimeter wall was a fence, a wire fence.
But not a roof, as far as we know?
No roof. No.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. Okay. When you're talking about the pool that's at the end of the water feature, it describes it both as a swimming pool and as a fish pond. I mean, it kind of goes back and forth between those two.
I think in that area originally there was a fish pond that went out, and then that was changed. That shoreline, Henry J. Kaiser. Adjusted that shoreline, he removed the fish pond, and then he made it into more of a pool. So I think that we're trying to figure out, was it just a fish pond that had changed its shape, or was it an actual kind of a swimming pool? So I think we never really quite figured that out, but I think in any case, it's a pool shape, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think their use for it was as a swimming pool, not for...
I think so. So we can change that.
Do you know, is it filled up by the ocean with a higher tide, or is it actually filled up by the water feature, the pool?
It's from the ocean. It actually goes, the tide brings it up and down. It's not connected to the fountain feature, water feature.
Okay. That's all I've got for now. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for our lady here?
Yeah, I see that the pavilion used to be the trophy house. You mentioned that. And you can see where the interior walls possibly were taken out at some point. And do you know when that happened? Or?
So in 1972, the structure was refurbished, or I guess... pretty much rebuilt. So they kept the walls, they kept the columns, the roof.
Apologies, everybody.
but they removed the exterior walls between the columns, and they also removed the roof.
One while I have reception, because this is specific to my project.
What? Do you want me to hurry?
Finish that up, and then we'll go to Bill after you.
Okay. But so anyway, 1972 was completely remodeled.
Thank you.
Bill, back.
Bill. Sorry, my apologies. Emergency phone call. Couldn't take it. So.
Did you have a question?
It's been answered. I see it in this answered in the chat already. Thank you.
I think Katie helped answer that. Thank you so much. Any other questions, anyone else? Okay. I guess this is the point where we have a nomination. Is this the part here? Sandra? Is Sandra there?
Hi, I'm here.
Okay, good. Are we supposed to nominate or have somebody nominate this for?
That's tomorrow,
I think. No, that's tomorrow. We're just doing the limited, like a site visit, virtual site visit today.
Okay, good. Thank you. So sorry. I apologize.
That's okay.
Any other questions, anyone, for our sister here? If not, thank you very much for your presentation. And I think we'll see you later.
I think I might be presenting next.
You're going to Bridges?
Okay.
Right.
Yes, Lorraine has three more to present.
Okay. The next one we have here is the Kalalau Spring Bridge.
Okay.
And, who's presenting that? I can't. Is that yours? Okay. And the next.
It is mine. Sorry. I just need to bring it up.
Oh, no problem. And then the next one is the stream, Kalalau Stream, Au Stream, and Waimalu Stream Bridge, both the bridges. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, great. Okay. And I am now screen sharing. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So these three bridges, I'm going to be presenting it all the same, in the same presentation, because they were all built as part of the Kamehameha Highway alignment expansion. So, and they're about a mile apart or less, about a half a mile apart each. And so they have a lot of this, of a very similar significance, architecture type, etc. So I'm going to be presenting the Kalalau Stream Bridge, the Kalalau Spring Bridge, and the Waimalu Stream Bridge. The Kalalau Stream Bridge is defined by the outer limits of a parallelogram measuring approximately 105 feet by 115 feet. That includes superstructures and abutments on both the eastbound and westbound bridges. It's interesting to note all three bridges really shows a progression of development of the area. All three bridges were originally developed in 1935 as part of the Kamehameha alignment. And I wanted to, this is the Kalalau Springs Bridge. You can see that there's a little pinpoint there. And then here again is the Waimalu Stream Bridge, just a little further down the road. We're nominating them under criterion A, and it's gonna be for the state register. It's owned by the state, and each of the resources, each of the bridges have two resources per nomination. That is because they were built in 1935 originally as a two-lane bridge with lanes in both directions. Then it was expanded in 1945 when they added another bridge that was parallel to it, also two lanes. And then, so what happened was the original 1935 bridge kept going in from west to east. So that was a one way. And then the new bridge brought direction from east to west. Then in 1966, both bridges were yet expanded again, one more lane. So that there was basically it's a six lane bridge. So just wanted to give you that overview. That's why here we have period of significance from 1936 through 1970. In 1970, the highway, the freeway was built. So that's the end of the significance there. The designers and contractors were William Bartels and in 1945, and Walker and Olin was the contractor in 1936. E.E. Black was the contractor in 1945. So it's interesting that if you look at the 1935 bridge, I think they call it the abutments, the rails, have a slight rounded edge to them, but the pattern within the rail is the same as in the 1945 expansion, but it doesn't have a curved edge to it. The significance is that it was part of the construction of Kamehameha Highway. That was the only overland, which allowed transportation to run, to be used as a vehicular route towards Pearl City. Before that, there was an old government road, but that was running Mauka of the area, and it was a very difficult road to traverse upon, not really meant for vehicular traffic, more for wagon traffic. So it allowed Pearl City to develop into the late 19th century and early 20th century. So the condition and integrity of these bridges, the condition is good, although it's been modified over time. The rail now is running atop above these bridges. The pillars of the elevated rail are located on the outsides of both ends of the bridge structure so that the bridges are intact. And the inside rails of the original 1935 bridge are intact. And the 1936 and 1945 bridges are intact, and they have a kind of an Art Deco aesthetic, which is seen in the photos I'm going to be showing you. So here's the Kalao Stream Bridge. You can see the rail above it. Here's some photos. I took a video of it here. Got the ducks there. And here's another video. I'm just showing you some footage of the bridge on the underside, and you'll see it again up above as well. But when I was there, I thought I really should have a canoe so that I could go underneath the bridge to show you, because actually, if you really look at it, you'll see all the expansions that's happened over time. Is this? So here's some. Photos. Oh, sorry.
I see the Bridges maintain this Federalist character there.
Yes, and so this is the 1935. You see how it's a rounded edge? 1936, so sorry. There's like a slightly rounded edge to the ends of the bridge, but in the 1945 version, it goes straight across. Also, interestingly, the 1945 versions are always longer than the 1936 versions, even though they're parallel. And then the nomination form also explains that both of the bridge structures, the substructure, is different for the 1936 and the 1945. Here's another view of it. This is the other side of the bridge.
That's the Malka side.
Malka side, yes. Somebody built a nice platform under the bridge. I guess you won't see that part. I think we cut that out. Here it is. Yeah, here's a photo of it. So you'll see that the 1945 construction is held up with pillars in the center, but the 1935 spans the entire width. That's why I think they were able to do it in the 1936 version, because they weren't as long. Okay. All right. Some photos. And then we've just put in some images of the exact same of this bridge prior to the construction of the rail, for if you're interested in seeing. So here's the exact same bridge before the rail. It looks a lot, to me, it looks a lot different. It's the bridge. Okay, and then Kalawao Springs Bridge. These were taken just the other day. Okay.
Lorraine, Bill, question, I think.
I got it.
Sorry. I don't know why we have these. I think I'm going to just not play this one. It's crooked. Oh my gosh. It's crooked. Okay. So sorry. What was that, Bill?
Oh no, I was going to ask that Bill Chapman had a question.
Okay. So sorry.
I don't know if we're collecting all the questions for later, but I added one to the chat room about, I see that the pylon or the support structure is quite close to the bridge in a couple instances. Did they have any impact on the actual physical character of the bridge?
I was going to mention that on the Waimalu Bridge that I'm going to show you next, it looks like they hit the ends of the column, or these two ends here. I'll show you, it's not in this photo, but you'll see it. And then they rebuilt it. But when they rebuilt it, it doesn't have a curve to it. It just has an angle.
Okay.
So I'll show you. Not this one. Mm-hmm. How do I get to the next slide? Okay, here we go. But the Kalawao spring and stream bridges were not impacted. The Waimalu bridges are much longer. So that's probably the reason they had to put the pylon so close to the ledges. So here are the images prior to the rail. And here's the Waimalu Stream Bridge. I couldn't read it. Okay. So it is at this end that we're walking towards, where you'll see. Interestingly, the Waimalu bridge is so long that they actually put a joint, and then they started to angle the bridge down. That is original, as far as I can tell. So these two ends here, it looks like they were somehow damaged and they were rebuilt. You'll see that there's some cracking here, and this has been reformed. And you'll see that it's straight. It's straight at an angle, but it's not arced like the original one was. But you'll see the column is so close to the edge there. I guess they had to get the formwork in there somehow. Okay. The underside of the bridge. And here you'll see the 1966 expansion. Right there. and pre-rail photos. Okay, thank you very much.
Are there any for Lorraine, anyone? Thank you so much, Lorraine. You have anything you want to add?
I don't think so. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Oh, did the construction? Oh, yeah, that's the one we just talked about. Okay.
If not, very much. We'll see you tomorrow, I guess.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Thank you, Lorraine.
Thank you.
Put it up to the Waimalu stream. Now we're going next to the house of Dr. and Mrs. Kitsumi Miyano. Is that yours too, Lorraine?
No, it is not.
Oh, it's not. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Sandra, who's it?
That is Babs. Oh, where did she go? She just was on there. There. Hold on.
Hi. Are we, am I on?
Hi there, guest. You're on, Babs.
Okay, let me see. Now I get the sheep since I have to find. Oh, when I restarted, oh, sorry. Give me a minute to find my thing. When I restarted, I forgot to. Sorry.
You're good.
It's under Google Docs. Sorry. Bear with me. Sorry. So sorry. Where did I find drive? Thank you.
You want to try to switch this with the Wren guest house if Angie's ready and we can come back?
Yeah, whatever.
I think I just got it.
Okay.
So were you folks able to view this beforehand at all?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Let's see how to get to the run. Oh, there it is. Where's that? Okay, there we go. Sorry for the delay. So this is the house that my parents got built by architect Stephen Nobu Oyakawa. And let's see if it's going to auto. And this is the current view from the street. And you can see the plantings have really grown. And this is what it used to look like before our low retaining wall was put in. This is the view from the patio as you go in to the, from the gate. And there's several planting areas in the patio. A lot of the house is designed so there's indoor entertaining and you can, you know, easily entertain outside as well. Going to the next slide, sorry. The sliding doors can go into the pockets on both sides, so you can fully open up the house to entertain. And then here shows one of the specified planting areas, and here's another one here in the center. Currently, there's a large poinciana tree. The original one was red, and now it's kind of like a orange. There's a bathroom on the right and bedrooms off to the sides of the dining room. So
when open, this used to have like a television and then a stereo system, and then there's speakers on the top. Does it get cut off by the people on the right? Let's keep going. This was that one of the, oops, sorry. This was, this was one of the New Year's Eve parties. Our neighbors were like realtors and anyway, we had a lot of celebrities come to our house over the years. This is the front door back here, but we hardly used it. This house has a lot of built-ins, not only shelving, but seating. I was really fortunate to find a lot of these old photos. Some of them were slides that I got digitized. This is the only desk that was built in for the house. Did you want me to go back to that one that just zipped over? This is the one that flew by. So anyway, there's a lot of built-in appliances, and also in the kitchen, you can see the louvers. So there's a variety of windows in the house, not only the louvers, but this hopper and glass fixed windows. Musashi used to come over a lot to play with us. Showing the garage and the driveway and some very, very old cars. This was the original screened walkway that joined the back of the bedrooms to the backyard. And this is the original back of the garage. And now there's like a screened area addition. My mom and my brother Leland still live at the home. She's 97 now. So trying to stay safe. Stays home all the time. Did you folks have any questions for me?
Does anybody have any questions for our guest here? Guess not. We'll tomorrow then.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Babs.
Okay. Take care. Thank you for being patient.
Thank you very much for your presentation.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Now it's 10:20 in Rena Guest House.
Rena Guest House.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Steve.
Okay, we're doing something a little different. Kara Obana, the owner of the house, is going to take us through a live walkthrough. Kara, are you here already? She might not be on yet because she might come on right before the 10:20 mark. So maybe we could go on to the next one until she joins because she's going to take us through the house live.
Okay. Try to move on. The next one is our 11 a.m. That's Ron A. and Margaret Clark residence, Wahoo Avenue.
That's Don actually has two 10:40 and 11, but I don't see him on the screen right now. Do you guys want to take a short bathroom break?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
And then come back?
Yeah, we'll take a break then.
Okay.
All right.
I'll get in touch with Kara and let her know we're ready for it then.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone. Sandra?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I think we're about 10 hours. Is everybody prepared? Hello?
I don't see Bill on and Pat yet, and Matt.
I'm here.
You're there, okay.
Yeah,
Katie. Oh, there's Pat, and
okay, Kara, can you hear me?
Is everyone here now? Sandra?
Hi, can you hear me?
Okay, everybody's there. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hello?
All right.
Except for Patman.
He's kind of busy, goes in and out, so we'll just...
Oh, okay, then we're good.
All right, good. Okay, good.
Okay, so how do we get Kara to be the main thing on the screen?
Kara needs to share her screen.
Okay, Kara, can you hear us?
Oh wait, she's gonna, you can actually click on her screen itself. Since she's doing a live video. Then you'll just see her.
So everybody need to do that?
Yes, I can't control the view on hers. Hold on, let me see.
This is Tanya. When you see your box, you see the blue mute. You see a blue mute button, and then you see a blue box with the three dots. If you click that, you can pin her. Pin the video.
Okay.
So go to Kara's and then Kara's and then pin her video and then it will enlarge it. And then when she's done, you just need to unpin the video.
Okay. All right, Kara, can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, except you need to twist the phone. We're sideways.
Oh, sorry. Okay. There
we go.
Okay.
Okay. So, this is the Wren Guest House. It's at on Oahu Avenue. And where we are right now is basically standing on Oahu Avenue. And it has a retaining wall around it. And the gates are opening. The Wren Guest House was built in 1939. We're not positive who the architect was, but according to the son of the original owner and a longtime resident, it was Mark Potter. Mark Potter was the original designer. And then in 1961, Johnson and Perkins designed a addition. And this driveway that we're walking, that she's walking up now, was original to the adjoining main property.
Is it possible to have Kara's video as the full screen, as nice as it is to see you?
You have to go up to her and in that little blue box, say pin video.
Okay. I don't see a blue box.
If you go up to where hers is showing along the top or the side.
There it is. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. So this is a territorial or Hawaiian modern style residence, like I said, built in 1939. And this driveway was originally part of a looping driveway that joined to the property next door. Actually, two TMKs now next door. It was all originally one large property that was owned by the Cooks. And this was the guest house to the main property that is no longer extant. The main house, rather. And you can see it has a double-pitched Hawaiian-style roof. The garage is a later addition. Kara, if we could go around and show the back part of the house.
Sure.
everybody frozen?
Or just me?
Room had just frozen to me too.
Okay, let's give it a second.
I guess her Wi-Fi didn't
like that corridor. Here we go. So this is the back. What you see over to the right was originally maid's quarters, and then right in the center of the screen is
thing on my screen.
Like a fam, what?
I have nothing on my screen.
Oh. And to the left is the main living room that has a Japanese ngawa around the exterior, which I'm sure you saw.
Angie, I'm not seeing pictures. I'm not seeing pictures yet either. I just have you.
Oh, okay. Did you pin her?
Bill, did you pin her video?
I'm good now.
Okay, great. So there's
the Ngawa. That's from the 1961 edition by Johnson and Perkins.
If I could make a suggestion, we might be able to make this run a little smoother if everybody who doesn't need to have their audio on and their video on would click it off. It may cut down on the bandwidth so that the live video will come through quicker.
Karen, if you want to go inside now, that'd be okay. That'd be good.
Go inside?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
We may have lost her for a second.
Hopefully okay. Can you see me now?
Oh, there we are. Yes. Okay. This is the entry.
Okay.
To the
great.
Right is the living room. That's the 1961 edition. And those windows in the front are actually movable screens. That opens onto that back deck that we saw a minute ago. And to our left is the original maid's quarters. It's now a music room. The windows in this room actually have wavy glass, which is pretty cool. And this is a kitchen, a remodeled kitchen that was done by Mason a few years ago.
Jeez.
Hey, Don.
Hello. Oh, my head out. I'm on.
Okay. Corridor to the bedrooms. There's three bedrooms. The two boys' bedrooms still have original Koenig walls and ceiling. The bathrooms have been remodeled, but the walls, ceilings, windows are all original. Oh, there's an actual boy.
My son. Working remotely.
Yeah. That's bathroom. This is the master at the end. This is the front of the house where we first came up the driveway. This is the first thing you see. Okay. That's pretty much the whole house, guys. You can see that there's original doors and windows, original floors in some places, walls and ceilings in some places. But the kitchens and bathrooms have been remodeled. The exterior's original. Any questions?
Yeah.
That's the entryway that we missed because it was locked up. And this driveway, this sort of parking area, led to the main garage for the main house that had servants' quarters, and then on to the Cook residence. It was, there's so many Cooks. Give me 1 second. It was Carolyn Cook. His house.
I have a question. Is this the house located by big round one that's on the hill?
I'm sorry, you broke up. What?
Is this the house that's next to the Cook residence? Big
brown one? It's down the hill from the Cook residence. If she turned to the camera to the right, you can see it on the hill. So this was property that was owned, that was all part of that original large residence that they gave to their children.
I see. Right.
So Carolyn was the original Cook's daughter, and they gave her this big parcel that on that they built their main house, a garage and servants' quarters, and this guest house. This guest house was actually built for Caroline Cook's husband. What's his first name? Anyway, Wren was his last name. I don't have his first name here in front of me for today. But anyway, that's pretty much the house. Any other questions for the house?
There were several renovations after the Potter renovation in 61.
I don't know between 1961 and the renovation that Mason did in the 90s. I think there was one because we have existing photos that looks like there was probably a renovation in between that was probably late 70s would be my guess based on what was there. But the renovation that Mason did, besides expanding the kitchen, expanded the master bedroom a little bit and enclosed an old laundry room to make that large master bath that we saw. So, and that one was in the 90s, late 90s, maybe even 99.
Any other questions, anybody? Much. We'll see you tomorrow then.
Okay. Thank you, Kara. I really appreciate it. That was very helpful.
Thank you, Angie. Okay. Thank you, committee. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. The person.
Before I mute myself, can I say one more thing?
Go ahead.
I have five other properties and, we weren't going to visit those, but I did put together some photos. If you have any questions on any of the other, any sort of visual questions about any of the others, I have some additional photos that I put together, but that's totally up to you guys if you want to see them or not. So I just wanted to put that out there, and thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I see the 10:40 a.m. Martin J. and Mary Bonde, I think it is. Vista. Whose is that?
It's mine.
That's Don's.
Good to see you, Don. Thank you very much. Go ahead, buddy.
Okay, let me see. Okay. I got a PowerPoint, so let me just get it going. Okay, I think I'm ready.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, number one, I notice on the agenda. The address is actually 3011 Vista Place, not 2011. Tanya caught that when she reviewed it, and I did send a corrected version of the nomination with the correct address. So I don't know if you got the nomination with the correct address or this one, but it's actually 3011.
We'll double check it. Okay, thank you so much for the information.
Okay. This house was built in 1928, and I believe the architect was Alvin Schattinger. And it was built for Martin and Mary Condon. Martin Condon worked at Honolulu Iron Works as a molder. I don't know what a molder was, but maybe somebody who knows about iron does know that. And he worked there till 1936 when he retired. And he continued to live in the house until 1956 when he died at the age, or 57, excuse me, he died at the age of 96. The house is characterized, it's a bungalow, and it's very distinct, and it has clipped gables, the lateral running gable roof. There's another clip at the back, which we can't see, and then these two porches that project out also have clipped gables. This is the front porch, and I find it very interesting. This is the rear porch. The rear porch is enclosed. Which you can see here. It was a typical rear porch, and it had the laundry equipment on it. And it has lattice that is screens. So it's partly open. The house has horizontal lap siding and sits on a post and pier foundation with lava rock at the corners, and then a horizontal slat apron. Here's another view of the house. You can see the roofs better. It remains in very good shape. Original condition. Here's the front porch. It has two Doric columns, Tuscan columns, excuse me, at either end. This there got to rework. They had done plywood repairs, but now they're right now. Tonya Moy is working on a rebuild of the house. Front door is right here. It's a double door with 10 panes. Here's what the house looks like in plan. You can see it's essentially the main area is an L shape. You have the kitchen here, and then a hallway. One bedroom off the hallway, a bathroom, a second bedroom, and then a third bedroom here. Off the kitchen is the other porch. When you open the front doors, this is the living room area. It has the Kleenex ceilings, paneled walls, a paneled wainscot on the bottom. All its double hung windows are intact throughout the house. And it has its original flooring. Also, you can see here, there are sconce here, and there's another sconce at the end of this bank of windows, which are original with the house. And then here is, well, here you get a good view of the front door, which has its original hardware, although they added a deadbolt lock. And then here's the dining room area, which is appointed the same as the living room. This door leads into the kitchen. This doorway leads down the hall. The kitchen still has its original beaded tongue and groove ceiling, beaded tongue and groove walls. Here's a sink, stainless steel from probably the 50s. This is the only place where the double hungs are gone. It has jalousy windows now. The cabinetry, I'm sorry, I don't have a picture of it. It all dates from the 50s. I believe they're going to be remodeling the kitchen. this is the hallway going down. You can see the doorway, single panel door, glass knobs, and that's consistent throughout the house. They have all the original doors and hardware. And again, beaded tongue and groove, walls and ceiling, the original light fixture here. Here's one of the bedrooms, which you can see here. And again, it has the original molding. There's also a picture molding that goes around and has the original tongue and groove walls as well as the ceiling. And again, original floors. The bathrooms have been remodeled. This is the other bedroom. There's a beveled mirror on the closet door. Otherwise, it's appointed the same as the other. All the bedrooms are appointed the same. And here again, you can see the doors. This goes into the kitchen. This is the back bedroom. And that's it. Very modest house, but very much intact. Are there any questions about the house?
Does anyone have any questions? Anybody for Don here?
I have a couple of things in the chat. Oh. I have a couple of things in chat.
What?
In the chat column, I have a couple of things.
Go ahead.
Don, do you have that? See at the bottom, there's a thing you can click says chat.
No.
I don't. It'll show you every question that people ask.
Oh.
It says there's like a little bubble that looks like chat next to the share screen. But anyway, I can say it out loud, I guess. So I just wanted to inform you that a molder makes sort of wood prototypes, and the way they mold cast iron is they set it in a sort of oil sand, and they press it in, and then they pour right into the sand. So that's what a molder does.
Thank you.
And sure. Then I asked if it's beaded or is it just 3-inch tongue and groove with a beveled edge.
No, I'm quite sure it's beaded. I'm pretty sure it's like
it looks flat. It doesn't look like it's got a bead. Usually the bead is that convex shape in the middle.
Huh. Yeah, if you look on the wall, see, let's see. I got a magnifier. I think you can see the convex in the middle. I'm sorry, this is as big as it expands.
Yeah, I don't really.
Okay.
To my mind, it looks like it's just 3-inch tongue and groove with a beveled edge.
Okay. I'm not that familiar with 3-inch tongue and groove.
You know, it's the basic kind without, yeah. The beaded kind of masks the joint between boards so that right. The bead gets, so that all you see is these sort of stripes.
Okay, a lot more labor intensive.
Not really.
There's also the boards that are wider, and then they actually have a center groove cut to look
that's
like.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. That's the beaded kind.
That's what I thought. There's
usually a bead at the in the joint where the tongue and groove is. So I don't know how.
Yeah, I'll double check that. But my memory was I thought it was beaded.
Any other questions here for anybody? If not, Don, go ahead to your next one if you want to.
Okay, let me get out of this one. Yeah. Okay.
Just to let everyone know, we are really ahead of time because this next one is supposed to be at 11 o'clock for Don, but here we are.
Okay. Okay. Everybody can see? This is the Margaret are John K. Jr. and Margaret Clark residents on the back of Diamond Head. It was built in 1961. An addition was put on in 1989. Both the original house and the addition were done by Vladimir Ostapov. It's done in a modern style. The house is hard to read because it sits up on a hill, and the hill is terraced with a house in front of it and another house in back of it. When you come up the driveway, this is what you'll see. Wait now. Oh, here. Okay, good. This is a bedroom wing on the house. This is the living room wing. This is the garage. Originally, it was a two-car garage. At some point, I don't know when, they expanded the two-car into a three-car, all carport on the side. Here's that bedroom wing. You can see they've got lava, or rather coral block here, and the house is built into this coral block hillside. Or not coral block, but coral stone hillside. The house, what you saw was this room, which had guest room and the living room, with the garage underneath the living room. The house essentially is laid out in a linear pattern where you have the dining room, the kitchen, the sitting room, all opening out onto a large lanai. Then a hallway running down where there's a laundry room, a bathroom, and a den, and making a turn to what was another bedroom wing. Stairs go up here to what is the addition that was put on the house. To approach the house, you walk past the carport here on the side. You walk up this walkway, up the steps. You make a left turn, and it leads you to another set of steps that lead you to the front doors. As far as I know, let me see. These front doors are etched, and as far as I know, they're original, or one of them was original, one of them was broken, and they had to replace it. When you open the doors, you come inside to a little foyer, which then another set of three steps lead up into the house itself. What I find very interesting, the house, you see you have a stone, coral block wall here, and Ostapov put a hole in the coral block so you can anticipate and see the lanai area, which is the inside. Here's the bedroom wing on the far side. Here's another look at that lanai from inside. This ceiling is also on the inside of the house, so he carries the ceiling out to the eaves of the edge of the roof as well to start to integrate interior and outside. It also has two Ohia posts, fireplace. Here's a view looking back. This is the hole where you first go in. So you're looking back now towards the entryway. And so you can see the house that way. Here you can see the house orient. Here's that lanai, and then it fronts on a swimming pool in front of it. And then here's the bedroom wing. And this is the addition that Ostapov added in 1989 to the house. This upstairs has a bedroom and a bathroom in it.
off the lanai, you have a series of rooms. This is the first, this is the dining room. You see it has pocket doors to close it. It also has sliding doors in the back, double set. So you can essentially open up the room with almost in a pavilion style. And again, the coral block walls, the ceiling, with the paneling that runs throughout the house. Next to the dining room is the kitchen, where it should be located. This has been remodeled, so I'm sorry I never took pictures of it because it was all remodeled. However, in the kitchen, this planter box window remains, which is original by Osipov. So you have the windows here looking out into the back, essentially the small garden area. The planters are here. They sit on a slat bottom so that when you water, the water just runs outside. To the other side of the kitchen is a sitting room. And again, it's just like the dining room, pocket doors opening it up, and then sliding doors to open it up the rest of the way for total cross ventilation. Here's another view of that. Here you can see the relationship of the kitchen a little bit better. And then here's the hallway that'll run down to the bedroom wing. Oh, I've got another, here's another view. You can see the built-ins here. You can see here, he has up finished all up here with the vertical slats across the top of the built-ins. Okay, there's that. When you go down the hall here, you're looking back towards the kitchen, dining room, sitting room, so you can see how serial the whole layout is. Very nice. He has fixed windows, but he has wood louvers underneath, and he has these sliding doors which control the airflow through the louvers. Here you can see from the outside when you're walking down, there's a new hot tub here with the door accessing going out. And this little connection connects to the bedroom wing here. Here is going down the hall, both the laundry room, which is to the left, which is out of the picture, and this is to a bathroom. Both of these have louvered pocket doors. And this bathroom has been remodeled, although we have very nice grill work up here. This is all etched glass with fern motif. This is from the 89 remodel. I don't know if we can see that or not. No, oops, change the picture. And very nice, first time I've ever seen a Koa bathroom sink. And again, he has all ventilation up here, screened. These are adjustable, just like a jalousie. Then this is a den, which is at the end of the hallway to the rear. And it has pocket or sliding doors, which open up onto a small lanai out here as well. When you make the turn to go into the bedroom wing, there's a set of stairs that go up to the second floor addition. And that's one large open room with two pocket doors that open out onto a deck that goes around this side and this side of the house. And then there's the bathroom. Downstairs, the bedroom wing that we were going towards, once you go past the stairway, this becomes what was originally another bedroom. And you see it has a very interesting lava rock partition wall
than a lava rock end wall. And they have, again, double sliding doors that open to the outside, which will take you out towards where the pool is. Going back to the entryway, if you go to the left, you go up a set of steps. And I find this rather interesting in that he has openings here, which look down into the living room. He has drapes that go down, made of reed, so you can have privacy. In the case of the owners, has it open. A pocket door here leads into the other bedroom at the end of the house. Here is the living room that you look down on. This set of sliding doors goes out to another balcony. And then again, same ceiling. And looking back the other way, here's doorway that leads right out to the entryway. So you can enter the living room directly from the entry. Over here is built-in cabinets, which you can see here. The original Ohia floor is still in the living room. Then going up the stairs to the bedroom. This is the bedroom. This is all windows back here. On this side is a sliding door that also goes out to a balcony. This is again fixed plate, and it has louver windows underneath. From the bedroom, here's the hallway going out to the rest of the house. And this hallway leads into a bathroom that has a table for, what do you call it, makeup table for women to sit down. You have slat doors here. There's also a bank of slat doors along this side for clothing. Then you enter into the bathroom. You have his and her sinks, which are original. I don't know if you can see up here well. You have those plastic grills that they used to put over the fluorescent lights, and those are still all intact, and then rather nicely handled. And then across from the sink, you have the shower, which has a wall of glass so you can look out onto the yard. And again, in the shower, he has a screen ventilator above, which is controlled by a crank. Then this is the balcony that bedroom leads out onto. And here you can see the driveway below. And that's it. Are there any questions about this house? I think with this house, although there is the addition on the one side, it's on the children's bedroom side. The main features of the house are all very much intact. The kitchen, which has been remodeled, which again is pretty much a secondary space. But I think very much you can see the indoor-outdoor play that Asapoff is working on. You can see the fine workmanship throughout the house. And of course, that's carried over in the addition as well, which Asapoff did.
Any questions, anybody, for Don?
I have one. Earlier in the slides you were showing when you first came up in from the entry to the dining room, and it looked like the wall that was separating the dining room from the lanai was just partial height. Like there, you know, that it didn't completely close the house off from the lanai. I wasn't
right.
Sure that was the case.
Let me see. There's this one. I don't know if this is the one you're talking about. Yeah, you can see it's a partial height here. Is that what you're referring to, Katie?
Yeah, so we're kind of right in the center. in the middle, like to the right, more cursor more to the more to the left. So to the left of the painting, that area, like that wall, looks like it doesn't go all the way to the ceiling. The coral block wall.
Yeah, the coral block does not go to the ceiling. That is correct.
Right.
Yeah. So again, it adds to the indoor outdoor.
That's it. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions for Don? If not, Don, you can go ahead with your next presentation.
I'm done for the day. You can continue.
Bill, I had one quick question. During the narrative, Don, you referred to lava rock, and I just asked if it was coral, but now you're talking about coral block,
yes,
so I need to look at the...
Lava rock. I misspoke. Oh, okay. There's no lava rock in this house. It's all coral.
Check.
Is the house by Ostapov as an accent piece, that little rock formations?
Excuse me?
I was going to say that those rocks seem to add a character to the house. Is that part of Ostapov's idea, was to use that kind of...
I think that was just the natural topography, and then he had to integrate the house into it.
Okay, good. Thank you so much. Don, I had you down for an 11 o'clock.
I think that was it. The clock. Oh, somehow the agenda put it down twice.
Oh, I see that.
I accidentally put it down twice. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no problem. So which one are we next to then?
We are on the Carter Dyer residence.
Okay, I'll say good day. I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, Don. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Who's next now, you said?
Carter Dyer residence is next.
Okay, that's on down, right?
Yes.
Okay, I think that's us. Aloha, everyone. It's nice to meet you virtually here. My name is Sarah Tomashiro, and I believe the homeowner, Adelia Chung, is also online. So if there are any questions for both, for either myself or Adelia, we're both going to be here today and tomorrow. But we understand under the circumstances of COVID that usually you folks do a site visit and that's preferred. So I put together a video that I hope simulates to some degree walking through the house, and in particular parts of the house that I kind of highlight in the nomination. The Carter Dyer residence is a 5-bedroom, 3.5-bathroom home. And also in the nomination, I also include the garage, which is located on the property. It was designed by Carl Winstead, and it was completed in 1921. So next year, it'll celebrate its centennial anniversary. So I think this is a really great property to add on to the register, largely because it's actually very intact, and surprisingly so, considering that it's been around for so long and it's had about 5 different owners. So whenever Chandra is ready, please enjoy the video. Thank you.
Good. Thank
okay.
Sorry, we're having some technical difficulty right now.
Some difficulties. Does anyone have any questions for this young lady?
I have a couple. I was looking at a reading about the lanai that was like an exterior lanai that then was enclosed to become part of the house. And it says it was located under the second floor rooftop deck. So it was already a covered lanai that then...
So when they enclosed the lanai, they made the enclosure a second top roof deck. So it looks, it mirrors actually what's on the front facade. So it's kind of a cool way of how they tried to do that. The enclosed lanai happened in 1964. So quite significantly after the house was built. But it was done by the Sumner family. Shortly before they sold the house to the next buyer. So I think the enclosure, in keeping with the style of the house, it definitely mirrors the overall design. But and when they did the lanai, the enclosed lanai, it kind of took off that Hawaiian style of living. That was actually a pretty cool feature of the house. But it is definitely... It is noticeable, I think, how the lanai was enclosed.
Okay, I got the video up again. I'm going to share it again with you guys.
Katie, that was just the lanai area that we just viewed, that you asked about.
Okay, I was trying to understand if it was originally just open like a courtyard and then they covered it and enclosed it, or was there a roof over it so it was a covered lanai and then they enclosed it?
I don't know. Do you know, Sarah?
Yeah, it was... they created the rooftop on top to make that second floor deck after they enclosed it.
Mm.
So that's our presentation for today. But if there are any questions, we're more than happy to try to answer them at our best today.
I had one other question about in the nomination, you mentioned a garage and you showed a picture of the garage, mm-hmm. but you didn't include whether or not you thought it was contributing or non-contributing on the property. So I just wondered whether you think that the garage, because it's a 1925 structure, mm-hmm. whether you think that, that actually has some integrity or has that been altered?
Well, it's been remodeled a little bit within the inside structure. I personally think that it should be contributing because it was constructed in a similar style to the actual main house. Also in the nomination, I talked a little bit about other structures because this was actually a much larger property. This is the only other remaining structure on currently 190 Dowsett Avenue. There used to be a servant's quarters and a pool house on the adjacent properties. So the garage is the only other part of 190 Dowsett that has been retained.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions for the young lady here today? If not, thank you so very much for your presentation and we'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Sandra, I have...
Yes?
Sandra, I have a schedule for... We just finished the Dowsett one at 11:20. The next one is 11:40, the couple A. And then after that, I had the Lani Hudi Drive, and then POW. Are any of these people here now?
Okay, the Kapolei one is not going to do today. They're not going to present today. They're just going to do tomorrow. Ken, are you there? I know he's here.
Ken Hayes.
Yes, he's next. And that will be, we're just blazing through everything today. Let me see.
Well, is Ken going to be nearby or should we call him or?
Yes, I'm in contact with him right now. I'll be I'm setting up his presentation. Hold on, real quick.
Okay. So while she's doing that, I'm thinking about, ladies and gentlemen, that we take a break until we get called back, and then we'll complete our work. I think we only have one person left, and then we'll pop. So I guess we'll just wait till Sandra has an answer from Ken Hayes. Okay. Does anyone have any questions, please?
Okay, he's signing on right now. Thank you, everybody, for being patient in this new kind of thing we're doing right now. Okay, here we go. I see Ken there, but.
Okay, I'm here now. I had to go out.
Okay, Ken's on, but I see it's connecting to his audio still right now.
Okay.
Ken, can you hear us? Ken? Okay, we have a couple more videos, two more videos after this. The next ones will be videos of inside the home. Sorry, having some difficulties here right now. Hold on, sorry.
This is Kenneth Hayes again at 2017 Lonnie Hooley Drive. Now we will go inside the house to let you see all the interior spaces. And these are the front steps. Concrete, we think they are the originals. They've been recoated with an anti-skid material for safety. When you come in the house, there's an open floor plan. So you come directly into the living room, which is fairly large. You can see the sliding windows and the view outside. You look at the Ko'olau Mountains on a clear day. It's a little hazy now. And the royal red poinciana tree. Closet. And here's the beautiful wainscot, very colonial revival in profile. You can see that the eating area is inside the living room. It's a combination space. The ceiling heights are almost 10 feet. And the floors are the vinyl plank floors. That's the only thing that's been replaced in the house, but it's a very complimentary style and color. The has all of its original windows, which is quite remarkable, and they're in exceedingly good condition. 6-1, double hung sash windows. And the casements are all of the originals. And the house also has all of its original crown molding. It's called out in the building description. And the plaster walls and ceiling. Now the house, you enter the bedrooms through the bedroom hall, and here is the bedroom off the kitchen, which may have been a den or a bedroom, because the original French door with its original hardware is still in place. And this leads directly into the kitchen. And you can see there's a closet here with its original panel door. I'll turn the camera the other way just for a second. And then the glass floorette knob. And there's the original French door into the room. And this den has a view out to the backyard. And all those windows are the originals, wooden windows. Moving out to the hall is the original bedroom, which has its original Douglas fir floor. And the 6-1 windows, and there's one window that is a mismatch, and we don't know why. It's a 3-1. But the window looks quite old, and it's wooden and sash. Here are the color of the Douglas fir floors. And outside, this is an added feature. This is a little patio off the bedroom. And this is a non-contributing feature. We think it originates from the 1990s. Does make a nice inviting space off the bedroom. And here's another original recessed panel door, just like the other room, with the glass floorette knob. It's got the original butt hinges too. And this bedroom has its crown molding. In the hallway, the original cabinets are in place, built-ins, and has the original bronze hardware. Going into the smaller bedroom, this room has all of its original wooden windows. The original crown molding, and plaster walls, and plaster ceiling. And you can see this bedroom looks out onto the patio. Now this bedroom does have an added half bath to it, which is not an original feature. Photographs of these rooms are in the nomination. Here's the report is more than likely the original telephone shelf, because there's the jack there on the floor. And people used to not talk on the phone very long. And now I'm going to show you the bathroom, which is has some remarkable original features in it. This is the white hexagonal porcelain tile floor that's original to the house. It also has its original cast iron bathtub with the original hardware and the original faucet. The cast iron tub is a porcelain enameled finish. And the original wooden window is in the bathroom. And I'm going to turn the camera. And this is the original cabinet in the bathroom, recessed panel. And it has the original hardware on it. Now, some of the tile on the walls is a replacement. Now we're going to go to the kitchen. The kitchen is intact in its layout. And it has its original china hutch, all solid wood built into the house. Some of the hardware appears to be from the 50s, but that's still a period of significance. And we believe that the countertops were sugar maple, and now that they are a synthetic sugar maple. The only thing that's left original, the sugar maple, is the cutting board. And it's there. And the back of the house has this nice framed entry. The board and batten walls, which appears to be the original. There's a decorative bracket still in place. And the kitchen has beautiful natural light through its 6-over-1 windows. All the walls and ceiling appear to be the original board and batten finish. Now, they had a built-in breakfast nook, which is still here. And it's the original window that lighted and vented it. And there's all the original board and batten walls. This may have been where the children ate while the adults ate in here. The scale of it doesn't lend itself to adult eating. And the original profiles trim. So the house is very casual in its scale, but it's still very elegant with its colonial revival wainscot and its beautiful windows and eating. It has a lot of colonial revival features in it. And here are the biggest feature, the columns. And those are here even in the corners. House was built for natural ventilation, lots of windows, lots of light. It's very cool and comfortable here today on this July day. It's really quite nice. This is the back door, which is a replacement, but it's done very nicely, paneled, matches the house perfectly. So, this is the tour of the interior. Now I will turn off and I will restart downstairs on the lower level. Thank you.
Okay, and I'm going to put the lower level one on right now.
This is Kenneth Hayes. I'm going to start on the lower level tour of 2017 Lonnie Hooley Drive. Now, the original garage was enclosed with board and batten siding. As you can see here, so the car used to sit in here, but now it's an apartment. You can see a lava stone knee wall. Kind of incomplete, little irregular shape on this elevation. Concrete floor is original, it's just got the new coating on it. And here are the windows that are shown in the nomination. The sliders that were installed so that you couldn't tell they were from the outside. The walls are drywall, and there was a lot of work done on this place in 2019 to make it what you're seeing today. But basically, the layout is exactly the same as it was in the beginning, in the period of significance. Here's the concrete steps that go from the garage up to the finished part of the lower level. And there's a concrete step that goes to the forward storage area, which the columns are exposed and the redwood timbers the house is made of. True dimension redwood timbers. If you go into the house, you have a recessed 5-panel door. Into the lower level, into the finished part. And then you'll see there are beadboard walls, which is, we think, the originals. Has quarter round molding. And there are some other recessed 5-panel doors. And here is a metal lined shower, and it has a beadboard ceiling and a beadboard upper wall, and then the whole rest of it is metal lined. And right next door is the bathroom. It's a half bath, a toilet, and a sink. The sink looks like it's from the late 40s. And the beadboard wall. Now the lower level has some jalousie windows, venting things. We have no information about what the original windows are, but as far as we know, jalousie windows weren't invented until the mid-40s. But that's still a period of significance. And here's the beadboard wainscot that's shown in the nomination. And I'll turn the camera this way. The ceiling height's about 8.5 feet in here. In the nomination, it calls this out as the original mudroom. And later, a quarters. Concludes the tour of the house at 2017 Lonnie Hooley Drive. I hope this video has been helpful. Thank you.
Ken, can you hear us now?
I'm here. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Yay, I can hear you. And that was his last slideshow presentation. I guess anybody has questions for Ken?
Bill and Chapman and I were wondering about those classical columns. Like it might have been a porch up there or lanai and filled in. Possibly.
As I said in the nomination, I think it was a shallow porch in the beginning, but the paint stratigraphy clearly says they opened it up very early now and opened the wall to the way it is now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. I'm a little fuzzy on this end.
I thought they were excellent videos. You really got a strong sense of the house. So good job.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I thought it did show nicely. I hope it wasn't as jerky as I saw it. It really was quite a smooth video, but I guess it came through okay. Do you have any other questions? Hello?
Oh, no questions, Steve. Shaking my head, no questions.
Okay.
I don't know where Bill went. But that is the last nomination on our limited meeting for today.
So we'll see you tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys. I don't know where Bill went, but... if that's it, nobody has any other questions, we're good for today. Thank you guys for all being patient.
Chandra, thank you very much. You did a good job putting all this together.
So. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Hopefully next time, maybe we'll actually get to go out. I don't know. But like I said, thank you guys for all. There's some difficulties. But we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.